Dam weakening, storm threatening. I'm Christopher Cruz. About 70,000 people downstream from a weakened dam in northwestern Puerto Rico are being evacuated. Torrential rains from Hurricane Maria have put so much pressure on it that it may fail. The island Secretary of State, Luis Gerardo Rivera Marin, says thousands of people have already gotten out.
We rescued yesterday and the day before close to 2,000 families from flooded areas. And now this, because of the heavy volumes and the dam, there's apparent structural damage.
3 million people are still without power in Puerto Rico. That's almost everyone on the island. Maria is still a Category 3 storm and is expected to bring dangerous waves and strong rip currents to parts of the southeast U.S. coast today as it moves away from the Bahamas and into open water. Meteorologist Karen McGinnis is tracking the storm closely.
Computer models are bringing it ever closer to the Outer Banks of North Carolina. It has edged a little bit further towards the west. Each time we look at this model, we see it coming closer and closer to the eastern seaboard.
President Trump none too pleased with Senator John McCain's announcement Friday that he'll vote no on the latest Republican effort to pass a health care bill.
They gave me a list of 10 people that were absolute no's. These are 10 Republican senators. Now, John McCain was not on the list, so that was a totally unexpected thing. Terrible. Honestly, terrible.
The president speaking in Huntsville, Alabama last night. He is continuing the criticism this morning on Twitter. 6 tweets so far. Trump said Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, quote, sold John McCain a bill of goods. Sad. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Geico presents a voicemail from your friend, Water.
Hey, it's me, Water. Look, about what happened in your apartment with the broken pipe. I just wanted to apologize for ruining all your stuff, and I hope this can all just be some me under the bridge someday. Oh, and also, I'm not paying for anything. Okay, bye.
Water never pays for water damage. Luckily, the Geico Insurance Agency makes getting coverage a snap. Visit geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
See it, choose it, love it with Estee Lauder's free gift, your choice. Worth up to $150, it's yours free with just a $35 Estee Lauder purchase. With 7 pieces in all, it's an incredible value, and you can choose your skincare and makeup. Come into Macy's, and you'll also get a 10-day sample of Double Wear Longwear Foundation in your perfect shade. Quantities are limited, so don't miss the Estee Lauder free gift. Now through September 23rd at Macy's and Macy's.com.
Star Trek Discovery will be beaming its premiere episode to network television frequencies, but Federation correspondent Mike Cremita says if you live in the United States, you'll have to pay to see the rest of the series.
CBS Television will premiere Star Trek Discovery tomorrow at 8:30 p.m., but it could be delayed by football. The network is hoping the exposure will drive people to CBS All Access, its subscription streaming service that will air all subsequent Discovery episodes. CBS is banking on a significant percentage of Star Trek fans who sample the premiere episode on network television to pay $5.99 a month for an online service that will allow them to see how the story ends. Trekkies outside the United States will be able to watch Discovery on Netflix. I'm Mike Ramirez.
Magnitude 3.5 earthquake has been detected near a nuclear test site in North Korea this morning. I'm Christopher Cruz.
See it, choose it, love it with Estee Lauder's free gift, your choice. Worth up to $150, it's yours free with just a $35 Estee Lauder purchase. With 7 pieces in all, it's an incredible value, and you can choose your skincare and makeup. Come into Macy's, and you'll also get a 10-day sample of Double Wear Longwear Foundation in your perfect shade. Quantities are limited, so don't miss the Estee Lauder free gift. Now through September 23rd at Macy's and Macy's.com.
You know what's better than getting a new smartphone? Getting as many as you need for $0 a month from Sprint. That's right. Get the best-selling Motorola phone from Sprint for $0 a month for all with Sprint Flex. Plus, with Sprint, you get the best price for unlimited. Visit your local Sprint store, go to Sprint.com/freephones, or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 today. Sprint. Works for me. Subject to credit, $30 activation fee, 18-month leases, and new line. Up to 10 Moto E4, $0 per month after $6.05 per month credit applied within 2 bills. Early termination results in remaining balance due. Best price compared to national carrier rates for similar unlimited plans. Coverage and offer not everywhere. Restrictions apply.
ABC News is sponsored by Gary Zell's Auto Glass, 513 3rd Street Southeast in Huron, specializing in mobile glass replacement, windshield and door glass replacement, free pickup and delivery. Gary Zell's Auto Glass, 352-0836.
Highs around 64 today under cloudy skies with scattered thunderstorms likely. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows around 57. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. High of 66. Upper 50s Monday with a chance for scattered rain showers. Low 60s Tuesday. From the South Dakota State Lottery Weather Eye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on KOKK. Right now, 53.
With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. High school football last night, plenty of it, as some teams moved games up in order to avoid potential thunderstorm activity. Others went on time. There were a couple of suspended games last night. We'll talk about that coming up. First off, though, we had a pair of games on the air. Huron Tigers traveled down south to Yankton. Was a big night for Yankton High School as they formally opened the renovated Crane Youngworth Stadium. Did a beautiful job. They aren't completely done with everything. Still have a parking lot they need to get some attention to. They will have field turf on the field by next year, but the new stands are up, a great press box for me to operate out of, and they did a very fine job in renovating the field. The old grandstand that was on the south side of the field, I'm told, was about 90 years old, and that was demolished. Then they put up a new grandstand on the south side of the north side of the field, with the south side now the visitor's side. And Yankton came out with some intensity, and they shut out the Huron Tigers by a score of 37-0. Yankton came out and scored twice, including converting after Huron had a botched punt snap to give Yankton a short field. Yankton never looked back as Huron suffers their third consecutive shutout, 37-0 for Huron. Jackson Hook, Walker Schultz each had 10 tackles defensively. Huron drops to 1-4 on the season. They host top-ranked Mitchell for homecoming next Friday night. Game we had on the air here on KOKK last night. Matt Watson was in Miller. Miller Highmore Herald had a tussle with Platt Geddes, but did come out with a 28-12 win. Miller Highmore Herald ranked number 4 in 9AA. They improved their record to 4-1. Henry Mullaney had 3 touchdowns, 2 of them coming on fumble returns. Karst Hunter added a touchdown rushing, and Miller Highmore Herald went on to the victory last night. Other scores around the area and around the state from last night: Bridgewater Emory Ethan waited out a 90-minute weather delay, then defeated Flandreau 56-6. Britton Hecla handed Clark Willow Lake their first loss of the season, 41-18. Coleman Egan shut out DeSmit 28-0. That game is a final, although I know they did not complete the game due to a weather. Corsica Stickney shut out Trip Delmont Armor by a score of 54-0. A game that got a lot of attention last night: Gregory, ranked number 1 in 9AA, defeated number 2, 9AA, Bonham, 36-26. Hitchcock Tuller improved their record to 3-3 on the season. They defeated Teopsa Zena, 46-6. Howard rolled up 570 yards rushing. They defeated Menno Marion, 71-28. Kimball White Lake nipped Woolsey Wessington 16-14. The difference: Woolsey Wessington missed a potential tying 2-point conversion in the fourth quarter. Kimball White Lake held on to their first win of the season. Woolsey Wessington drops to 3-3. Lyndon Williams had 78 yards rushing and both touchdowns for the Warbirds. In a back-and-forth affair, Madison, ranked number 1 in 11A, defeated West Central 36-25. North Border edged Falkton 23-20. It was Sisseton 54, Redfield Dolan 22. Sully Butte shut out Sunshine Bible 50-0. Winner edged Mount Vernon Plankinton 20-14. Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central got a big night out of John Whitty as they defeated Chamberlain 26-13. Whitty, 29 carries, 150 yards, and 4 touchdowns. And he also had 5 receptions for another 131 yards. The Blackhawks are now 4-1 on the season. Some 11 AA and AAA scores. Aberdeen handed Harrisburg their second consecutive loss, 10-7 last night. Mitchell, ranked number 1 in 11 AA, had to hold off a late rally by Douglas, but Mitchell does win 22-14. Pierce stayed undefeated as they defeated Brookings 28-13. O'Gorman defeated Rapid City Central 27-14. Sturgis defeated Spearfish 20-6. And perhaps the most entertaining game of the night last night, Sioux Falls, Washington, ranked number 1 in AAA, edged Rapid City Stevens 29-28. Stevens scored with 14 seconds to go in the game, went for 2, did not get the conversion, and Washington held on for the victory. There were some weather delays, and probably the biggest marquee one was in Watertown. Watertown, they played 5 games. 3 of them have been affected by weather with either delays or postponements. They got both last night. Sioux Falls Lincoln was leading Watertown 14-11 with 9:45 to go in the game when the third and final weather delay commenced. 3 total weather delays. They finally suspended the game around midnight. No word what's going to happen next with that. Obviously, Watertown wants to play out that final 9:45 with just a field goal difference. Also, Florence Henry, Waverly South Shore played in the second quarter. Then they had to suspend things, and they'll resume that game on Monday. So that's the rundown of our scoreboard from last night in high school football. Schedule for today is a bit quiet out there. Now, here on Tiger Girls Tennis is scheduled to go to the Appear Invitational today. We'll see if they actually make that trip or not due to the weather, as much of the state is expected to be affected by the rain today. But again, here on Girls Tennis is scheduled to go to Appear. Volleyball, there's a number of tournaments out there today. Mobridge hosting a tournament. There's a huge tournament at the Pentagon that has a couple of area teams. I know Hitchcock Tulare is heading there. Kimball White Lake also having a big volleyball tournament today. So plenty of volleyball around the area out there today. Minnesota Twins won their second in a row last night as they defeated the Detroit Tigers by a score of 7-3. Twins won, and everybody else chasing them for that second American League wild card lost. So with 8 games to play, the Twins now have a 3.5 game lead for that second spot in the wild card. Twins will try to keep the momentum going as game 3 of the series with the Tigers is tonight. Earlier start time, 4:30 with the pregame, 5:10 with the first pitch. Irvin Santana on the mound for the Twins tonight here on KOKK. That's the Saturday morning scoreboard. Dakota Sports Saturday coming up next here on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture and the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. And Slumberland of Huron and Mitchell are locally owned and operated by a staff made up of your friends and neighbors. So for America's top brands, great local service, and the guaranteed lowest prices, turn to Slumberland of Huron and Mitchell.
Remember the stormy weather this past summer? Do you remember how well your insurance coverage responded? Don't learn the lesson of being properly insured the hard way. A free insurance review with Pearson Anderson Insurance has options to specifically cover you at a price you can live with. Let Pearson Anderson review your insurance program to make sure you're ready for the future. Pearson Anderson Insurance, insuring a brighter tomorrow. Give them a call today.
You've got Dakota Sports.
Morning, everyone. First up here on Dakota Sports Saturday, we talk with Shelley Buttenegan, head volleyball coach for Huron. Tigers, one-game week this week, traveled down to Yankton. Lost in 4 sets. Not a real crisp night for the Tigers. Take nothing away from the Gazelles, who played very well. And Coach Shelley Buttenegan, let's talk about that one first. You run into a few matches this year. Just didn't feel we were really sharp in some areas. And, well, Yankton, who only had 2 wins but had played better than that, they pounced.
Well, they did. And, you know, on film, it didn't really look like we were that bad. And then all of a sudden, you know, we knew that our theme this year is separation will come late. And so it's going to be tight until the last few minutes or the last few points. And
we have seen that a lot.
We've seen a lot. So we know the mindset, but then all of a sudden it's tight and we get to where we talk about, and we had 3 hitting errors, 2 serve receive errors, and then it's over. I mean, we just can't catch up. And so it's those lapses that are causing us a lot of strife. I don't know if they're mental lapses or what. And then the rest of the match, we panicked. We just plain flat panicked. We didn't really follow the plan as to where we were going to hit, how we were going to hit. We just didn't follow the plan. And, sometimes with a young team or a team that's pressing too hard, that's what happens. And so there's a silver lining in this whole thing that we're learning emotionally how to handle things. I thought we were okay, but I think we panicked. And I think Yankton took the kids by surprise. They didn't take us by surprise. I mean, we'd seen them on film and heard about them, and we knew they were tall, lanky. We knew that they were going to come at us. Sometimes their approaches started at the 15-foot line, not the 10-foot line. So, I think we just got tight. That's the best I can explain it, and just made uncharacteristic decisions and plays. And it was disappointing, but yet it's so early in the year that we're going to take this as a lesson and keep moving forward.
You know, a couple positives out of that. First off, Holly Neas just had a huge night hitting the ball, and you know, we're to the point now. She plays all around, and she's liable to get set no matter what spot she's at on the floor.
Yeah, she might be out of bounds, and we're going to set her. However, now this week, with all the injuries, it's going to have to change, and we have her in a different position in the back row, and so. We'll have to see how this works, because she's a lefty. Things are going to be coming across her body in a weird way. So we have to practice that a lot more. But Holly is a beast. She's one of the best players right now in the state that I've seen. And I think what's really, really cool is to see her grow up and want that pressure and want that ball in her hands. And that's what we're really, really happy with.
And then I thought Kayla Shimke had a solid game too. She was trying to make something out of nothing at times, and did have double digits in kills.
Yeah, she did. We spent a lot of time in the second and third and fourth sets out of system. We just didn't get that ball up to Jada real well. And you're right. She took some sets, that were not real great, and she was trying to make stuff out of something. And she's trying to be a very, very good leader, and so, I think Kayla's had a really good year compared to last year to this year. Though the case might be for Holly being the most improved, but Holly really wasn't in the court. I think Kayla by far is the most improved player in our team right now. And she's having to put on a little different, leadership hat and skills hat. And she's being a pretty good beacon for the younger kids right now.
You mentioned the injuries, and well, it was basically a trade-off on Tuesday. Carly Lynch comes back after being out since the first weekend of the season, and just a few minutes after that, it seemed like Melissa Burr goes down. She'll be out for the season as she suffered an ankle injury.
Yeah, to be honest, it was one of the worst ankle injuries I've ever seen here in Huron. It was bad. It was awful to see.
one of those Jill Theismann type things?
You know, for us it certainly was, because we just don't see that very much. And,
yeah.
and Melissa was all on her own, and so my eyes were on the defense. I didn't really see it, but we had it on the iPad, and it was rough. And you just hope. You're hoping that it's not as bad as it appears, but we pretty much knew at that point, even when she was still on the court, that we were looking at a serious injury. And so that's devastating. You know, we're already thin as far as our depth chart, and so now we're going to have to go a little bit deeper. It's tough. It's rough. And Carly did come back, but her reflexes and all that stuff was still almost from day one. And so we've got a lot of catching up to do with Carly. But we feel really, really bad for Melissa. Just a tough pill to swallow there. But, our philosophy is when a door closes on one, a door opens for another. And so we'll see now which player will be able to take advantage of an opportunity that they have.
Well, the opportunities start next week in a couple of home matches, which doesn't seem like we've just been at the arena very much. But Tuesday, Brandon Valley at home. Thursday, Mitchell comes in, homecoming week. So got all those things going on as well. You'll have had a week off by Tuesday, and I know you've been doing a few different things in practice here, just kind of seeing what's going to stick, what's going to work.
Well, Jade is hurt now, too.
Yes.
That's another thing that came out of that Yankton match. I don't know if I ever want to go back to Yankton.
Kind of like Bryce Steffen never wants to go back to Harrisburg and play football.
Yeah. So Jada, suffered a serious groin injury during basketball last season. And Jada, we had an overpass, which means that we passed the ball and it was going to go over on the other side of the net. And they had a tall hitter there waiting to crush it. And Jada spun and made this incredible, fantastic block. But when she took off and that twisting turn, hurt that groin again. And those things are really, really serious. You hear a football player is missing a season and a half.
It's hard to move.
You can't imagine trying to pick up your leg or, anything. Any turn to the refrigerator, mm-hmm. Getting out of the recliner, that kind of stuff is really, really hard and painful. I think, Jada's okay with it maybe not working 100%, but the pain is what's really hard. her cat-like quickness, the way she changes directions, she needs that groin. So we've now spent the last 3 days of practice working on a different offense, two different setters. We're going to play 6-2. We're going to try a 6-2, which means now we have to have six hitters instead of five. So we're going even further into the depth chart than really had planned. Now, I'm not saying Jada can't play or won't play, but it's very questionable. And so we have to have this backup plan. And in fact, when she did that, I think it was point like 21, 23 at that point when she made that block. My mind already was shifting, going, okay, if she really is hurt and can't play, we got to go immediately into a different offense. And we hadn't really planned on that. You just don't. So, again, the silver lining in that whole thing is if Jada is not hurt, we get her back. And if she is hurt, we were prepared. And we're prepared to do that at any point in any moment. So, good things happen a lot of times out of bad things. And so now we've got a different offense ready to go. But it changes things a little bit where Holly isn't as quite mobile a little bit. And it moves McKenna more into the middle, and we'll have to use her quickness in the middle. And we're also going to move Carly into the right. In one of those positions. And, Kylie Overbay might have to hit too. So we've got a whole lot of different things that we're working on, and it's okay to be able to expand and broaden. And we talked yesterday in practice about, adversity. What kind of team do we want to be? We want to be a tough team that when we face adversity, we're not going to panic. We're going to keep cool and just find a way. And so the goals that we talked about early on in the season, we're not going to shift gears. We're going to keep our goals and keep working forward. And, there's a lot of October left, and there's still some September left. And so we get a lot of time to focus still on getting better and finding a way to get into the playoffs there or into the state tournament in November.
Shelley Budenhagen, head coach of the Huron Tiger Volleyball. Again, home matches Tuesday, Brandon Valley, and Thursday, Mitchell next week. We'll take a Big D's timeout. Come back. We will talk with Huron Tiger football coach Michael Schmitz on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
We're there when you need us. That is the motto that Farmers Union Insurance lives by. They know that when a loss occurs, you deserve their immediate attention. Here on Area Agent Pearson Anderson Insurance teams up with their loss representative to settle your loss and give you the attention that you deserve. Quality, commitment, and pride. Call Pearson Anderson Insurance in Huron and become a satisfied policyholder with insuring a brighter tomorrow.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture and the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. And Slumberland of Huron and Mitchell are locally owned and operated by a staff made up of your friends and neighbors. So for America's top brands, great local service, and the guaranteed lowest prices, turn to Slumberland of Huron and Mitchell.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday. Now going to talk here on Tiger football with head coach Michael Schmitz. Tigers came out slow last night. Yankton, with a lot of things going on with their field and such, pounced early and picked up a 37-0 win. And coach, we talked before the game, and really one of the keys you thought was you knew there's going to be a lot of things going on, homecoming, the opening of the newly renovated stadium and stuff, and you felt we needed to kind of make a statement right away, but couple of three and outs and a couple of quick scores, and we were just kind of treading water after that.
Yeah, we're kind of in the same boat we've been in the last couple of weeks, and you know, not able to move the ball and not able to stop the ball.
You know, and the bottom line is, I thought we were getting a little better on taking care of the ball, but yet, just at inopportune moments, as much as anything, Yankton has momentum. We have a bad punt snap, gives them the ball on the 9-yard line. We have a nice drive going late in the first half, throw an interception, and actually sets up a field goal for them after a long return. You know, we just had, little things like that. Just it just popped up at a bad time.
Yeah, and I even was talking with some of our coaches, too, kind of throughout the week or different times, even during the game. You know, we just don't catch those breaks right now, you know, where Yankton and other teams that we've played seem to, you know, if something negative could happen, all of a sudden the ball bounces their way, they pick it up, they gain 20 yards instead of a 7-yard loss or a turnover.
Well, I think like early in the third quarter, Yankton put the ball on the ground. It looked like we had about five shots to jump on top of it and never did. Yankton got on it, and I think they ultimately went down and scored on the drive.
Yeah, and it was a free ball for a while. We had a couple guys going after it as hard as they could, and you know that the ball being not round, yeah. definitely
there's a reason
moves.
Why there's points at the end.
Yeah, it definitely moves where it wants to move, and so we just weren't able to grab it.
You know, and it was just, it almost got to be a one step forward, two step back, because, you know, we'd get a couple of nice plays. All of a sudden there'd be a loss of 8 yards, loss of 4 yards. We just couldn't get the offense running consistently.
No, and that's just kind of been our MO, I guess, this year is we do some really good things for a while, and then we are still running the same system and just can't keep it going.
You know, defensively, we had some nice things, but again, especially the second half, we were on defense way too long. In fact, I think it was about 9 minutes to 3 minutes time of possession in the third quarter, but boy, you got a couple of guys there. I really liked the way Walker Schultz, Jackson Hook played from their linebacker positions. Alex Hill has shown a significant improvement, I feel, in defense from what we saw from him last year. Those guys are going sideline to sideline, but again, bottom of the day, it'd be nice if they didn't quite have to do it so much.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and they, especially last night, you know, they kept making them run plays at least in the second half before doing anything. So just keeping them running. But yeah, those three, and actually there's a couple guys they're given everything they have, so you know that's all you can ask for.
You know, Cooper Freiberger got extended action last night too. I thought he made a couple nice plays in the defensive backfield.
Yeah, he came up and he made some hits and he made some tackles, and it was nice to see him be able to kind of come up and do that and see what he could do.
And then, of course, you know, I hate to just beat it over the head, but the injuries continue to be an issue. A couple more kids went out last night. Most significantly, Jet McGurr went out in the fourth quarter. Your quarterback, Kobe Bush, came in, ran a few plays there. I don't know how many reps he's had there, but with Blake Larson already out, Jet was kind of a guy you wanted to keep on the field. You know, there's a reason why he hasn't played defense this year, because he would be one of our better defensive backs.
Yeah, and he's just a good athlete, and I've kind of yet to see. I kind of watched the film, but I haven't really dove into it yet, just to see kind of what happened. And I know he took a hit on the other opposite sideline of us, and so just kind of kept an eye on that. But yeah, Kobe's come in, and he's just an athlete. He took some reps throughout the week. We'll definitely have him be taking more this week, depending on what happens, and see what we can do.
You know, Remington Walton went out in the first half as well, and he's just been kind of nicked up all year.
Yeah, and he keeps pushing through, and we've got a lot of kids that are kind of dinged and nicked, and with how many injuries we have, you know, that's just part of it. In football, that's just part of the game, and we're getting kids to try to step up.
You know, Bryce Stephanie's done for the year. I believe he had his surgery on the knee, so I hope he gets healthy for a senior year, get a full season out of Bryce, because he has played well. But next week with homecoming coming up, you know, Travis Kleinsaucer, he did dress but did not play last night. Gabe Rieger had to sit out last night. Chip Schillingstad sat out. Matt Kotz, those are all guys. If we can get them healthy, boy, that changes so many things, not only weapons added, but also just depth as well.
Yeah, definitely. And just getting those kids back is huge to what we can do. And it'll be a tell early this week to see where everybody's at and how many kids we can get back and what we can game plan with.
Now, as we look at what's ahead here, it's Mitchell. It's homecoming week. So that's a two separate things that the boys really look forward to. One, homecoming week, and two, playing the Mitchell Colonels.
Yeah, definitely. And I know we have a couple coaches from here on our staff that's Mitchell's a big deal. I know, you know, big rivalry for this town.
I've never heard John Gross make any comments about Mitchell.
Yeah, he's usually full of them, which is good.
Keeps them loose.
The longstanding tradition that we have here. And so the Mitchell game is always a big game, and then you compound it with homecoming, and it's definitely something we're going to be pushing at.
Well, as we look ahead here, one, just get healthy, two, and I guess more than anything else, and that goes along with that, who's going to be available, and then where can we put them?
Yeah, exactly, and trying to figure out what the best movement forward right now for the offense and the defense is to be successful.
And finally, in 11AA, it's anybody's guess right now. All of a sudden, Harrisburg's on a two-game losing streak. Mitchell got pushed to the end by Douglas, and make a pick.
Yeah, exactly, and from the rumor mill, just talking with Coach Lickness last night, he had heard that the Harrisburg quarterback broke his collarbone last night.
Ah.
So that may change things a little bit, too, with Harrisburg.
Well, bottom line is there's opportunities here. One, get healthy, and two, take advantage of them.
Yeah, definitely. We just got to play, and we got to come out and do what we can do.
Michael Schmitz, head coach here on Tiger Football. Tigers host Mitchell homecoming next Friday night, 7 o'clock at Tiger Stadium. Still to come, we talk here on Tiger Golf with head coach Chris Roselle. A little later, Miller Highmore Herald coach Will Castle. All coming up here on Dakota Sports Saturday.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
And we're
back on Dakota Sports Saturday. We're going to talk here on Tiger Boys Golf with head coach Chris Rozelle. The Tiger Boys in the stretch run now, basically the postseason getting underway. Monday they will have the ESD Championship. Following week will be the state meet. So, Chris, give an overview of this season so far. I know you've been pleased with a lot of the results. You've showed a lot of one of your lowest cumulative scores that you've had since you've been coach.
Yeah, you're right. It's been, we've been out there since August 7th, I believe it is, and it's been a good season thus far, so I'm pretty happy with our overall average for the year, and we've been pretty consistent.
Well, and that's the thing you and I were discussing before we started the interview. You've been happy and have a pretty low overall average, as you said, but yet this is just almost like a golden time for high school boys golf, at least double-A golf. There's a lot of good golfers out there, and really this success statewide has been sustained here for a few years now.
Yeah, you're right. It seems like this year the averages out there have been pretty remarkable. Just individually, I've seen a 64 scored at Pier by the Haas kid, which is remarkable. I've never seen a golfer shoot a 64 before, so that's pretty awesome. And then team score wise, if you don't shoot under a 300, you really are not going to win the meet. So it's the talent that's out there right now. And the depth of the talent is pretty remarkable, and it's been fun to watch this season.
You know, I remember not that long ago, just 6-7 years ago, it was a rarity if you saw a team shoot under a 300. It was something that would get everybody's attention. But as you said, now if you're going to win on a given day, the team probably has to be under 300.
Yeah, you're right. There's been a couple meets where three teams were under 300 with a low score of 288. By O'Gorman, and that's really low. So, like you said, you know, what we compete against each and every day is hopefully helping our talent level increase. So, I think it's overall it's a good thing for the sport of golf and at the high school level.
Well, let's talk about our Huron Tigers. Start off with your lone senior, Nolan Weigel. He's been a varsity player for you, I think, pretty much since seventh grade. He is what you would call a golfaholic. He is a course rat, always playing golf, especially during the summer, getting his game better. And he's had his sights set high this year, conference championship, state championship. Been a pretty consistent top 10 performer so far this year.
You're right. He has been on a mission. He's been in the program since the seventh grade year at the varsity level, and it's progressively been improving, and finally this season I think it's all come together for him a little, and he's been very consistent, shooting in the 70s almost every meet out. You can almost count on a low 70 score for him. He's got right now a 73 average, which is remarkable, so he's had a great season. I know at times he gets frustrated, though, seeing other scores that players are shooting, and with his talent level, he's right there with them. It's just if he can consistently get that putt to fall and around, you can see some red numbers out of him under par, and hopefully he's saving that towards towards ESD here and state coming up.
We'll talk about the rest of the kids that you'll have at ESD, and we'll get a little more in-depth on ESD coming up here. But I've noticed here that really you've had, what, 6, 7, maybe even 8 kids that have golfed on a varsity for you from one given time to another this year.
Yeah, I've played 7 kids this year. We talked about Nolan Weigel and Mason Rozelle, Jacob Weed, Nathan Gower, Landon Roberts, Will Smith, and Barty Botel have all had varsity meets. And you know, as we look at their scores, they've all been pretty consistent. Talking about improving our scores, you know, I got 4 kids, you know, Nolan's in the 70s average, but after that, we got 4 kids that shoot, that have an 80 in the 80s for an average, and that's pretty good. I don't think I've had that since I've been here either. So, it's been a good year. Our average has been a good average, and so I'm pretty pleased with that.
Well, the ESD is coming up on Monday, kind of an odd day, but I guess the course that's hosting it requested that to not take up a full Saturday with the competition. You're playing at Spring Creek. It's hosted by Harrisburg, which I guess is their, Spring Creek is their home course, but tell me about Spring Creek. Do you know anything about it at all?
I really don't have a clue what the challenges are yet, because I've never been to Spring Creek. Either have any of my golfers. However, we're going to go Sunday afternoon and get a practice round in there and take a look at it and get on the greens a little bit afterwards and practice and see where some dangers are throughout the hole, throughout the round. So it's kind of a blind round for us. None of us have been there. And hopefully that on Sunday in our practice round we can get familiar with that and use that to our advantage.
Well, tell us, are there any positives you can come out of that? Is a little unfamiliarity something that can actually help you out? Or is it just, it'd sure be nice to have been on the course a little bit more than the day before the actual competition?
I think more going towards golf, if you play a course more and more, you get better and better at it. I'm a little leery about going there, not having seen it at all, not knowing where the hidden dangers are and so on and so forth. So I'm excited to see a new course. However, it's not as exciting not to be familiar with it. But hopefully we can get all that in one day on our practice round. So I'm appreciative of Coach Roeder letting us go down a day early and paying for our practice rounds and helping our kids out that way. So I hope that the familiarity of the course comes quickly and we can get over that hurdle as Saturday comes, or Monday comes, excuse me.
And let's talk first off your goals for Huron, for Nolan Weigle, I'm sure. It's to compete for that conference title and then for the rest of your varsity callers, just kind of hold or even improve by a stroke or two that those scores that they've been pretty steady with, consistent with all year.
Yeah, you're right. Of course, Nolan's goal is to win the ESD and be right there in the state later in the season here. But as far as the ESD goes, I'm hoping a good day for Nolan. And as we go through the season, like even my son Mason Rozell, he always has a round going where he is right there to break through and lower that average. But then a couple holes jump up and bite him and he always comes up with a consistent score of about 85. You watch these rounds from the, even Jacob Weed and Nathan Gower, you know, they're right there too, but then just a hole here or there kills them throughout a round and hopefully we can avoid that on Monday. And Landon Roberts, who is just an eighth grader, he's got our third best average, I believe, on the year. He just shoots a consistent round day in and day out, and hopefully he can even shave a few more strokes off that. And Will Smith lately, as a freshman, his first two rounds were in the hundreds, and then it's been consistently coming down where in the last two rounds he's been in the low 80s, so he's hitting the ball really well, and hopefully he can, like Landon, take a couple strokes off here and there, and you never know what we can do as far as the ESD goes with the talent level, though we're always battling.
And wrap it up with this, just talk about the ESD as a whole. Obviously you want your Huron Tigers to compete. Who are some of the other teams to watch for? I know Aberdeen seems to be at the top of on that top two or three in most tournaments they're in.
Yeah, you're right. Aberdeen's been playing really well. They got four solid golfers with Jonah Dore at the top probably. He's shot a 67 this season for Aberdeen, and they've been battling at all our meets for that top spot, followed by probably Watertown, who at times can shoot a low score, with Sambata at the top there, who shot a 66, I believe, somewhere this season. So he has the potential of shooting low and helping their team score. And then as far as the rest of us, probably Yankton and Brandon Valley at times, and even Mitchell shot a low score the other day, and with our potential of with Nolan's low score and then our other guys coming in a little lower, you never know what might happen. So it's kind of exciting, the talent level, you know, to see where people can finish at the end of the day. Depends on a few strokes here and there almost every meet. So hopefully the kids are aware of that, and they try to avoid those big numbered holes and put it all together in one day.
That's here on Tiger Boys Golf. Coach Chris Rozelle is there set for ESD on Monday. Here's a timeout. More coming up here on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture and the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. And Slumberland of Huron and Mitchell are locally owned and operated by a staff made up of your friends and neighbors. So for America's top brands, great local service, and the guaranteed lowest prices, turn to Slumberland of Huron and Mitchell.
Stop in for a free insurance review at Pearson Anderson Insurance, handling insurance needs for auto, home, farm, business, and life. It only makes good sense for you to call Farmers Union Insurance Agent Pearson Anderson in Huron. Pearson Anderson offers the benefit of a company doing business in rural America for over 50 years that stand by the slogan, Insuring a Brighter Tomorrow. Give them a call today.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
And good morning, everyone. We'll wrap things up here on Dakota Sports Saturday. A little more high school football with Miller Highmore Herald's Will Castle. Matt Watson talked to him before last night's game, the win over Platte Geddes in Miller. Miller Highmore Herald now 4-1 on the season. They're ranked number 4 in 9AA. They had the one loss to second-ranked Bonham. That was by a touchdown, but other than that, they've had a pretty good handle on things. Had a narrow win over Kimball White Lake, but wins over Woolsey Wessington last week against Ipswich Edmund Central, then last night against Platte Geddes, sitting now at 4-1 on the season. Also have the bypass, so they're just ready to get into the stretch run of the season. And Coach Castle talked about nice to get a couple of wins where they were able to pull away.
We talk about we need to put four full quarters together. That game up at Ipswich went four quarters. We got freshmen and sophomores who haven't seen varsity at all in their high school career. So it was a good team win. We came out of that game healthy, and so that's one thing we were preaching throughout the bye week, to get guys healthy and to play the way that we play at our level. And it's tough when you go against teams who might not have as good of a record as you or as many guys on a team as you to play at your level. And that's one thing we've been talking about going into last week, this week, and hoping we can do that here on out.
Well, you had to feel pretty good about Ipswich Edmund Central because that was coming off your bye week. Before the bye week is when he had the one touchdown loss to Bonham, so he kind of had to stew on that loss there for a couple of weeks, so I'm sure he had to be happy. Not really sure how a high school kid's going to come out, but they came out ready to go last week.
Yeah, it was. We on offense, we had 330 yards rushing, I think 250 passing, and we still had some penalties that we needed to clean up, but I think we got better throughout the bye week. We talked about we want to get better individually at our technique, at our schemes. We really didn't worry about an opponent. We corrected a lot of techniques, things like what I talked about, and our guys got better, whether they were a lineman, a linebacker, working on their first step. So that's going to be an important factor here in the next couple weeks and come playoff time, that we have to be the best individual football player at our position. And then that's going to help our team as a whole.
Well, I see, looking at the schedule, just one home game left for you. That's next week with Teopsa Zena, and then a pair of very tough road games, Parkston, and then top-ranked defending champion Gregory. So a lot of work to do here yet, past the middle point of the season, but I think the kids look like they're eager to go.
Yeah, it is. We kind of talked about that bye week was kind of halfway for us, even though it wasn't. It just felt like it was halfway through the season. With the week and a half of fall camp that we had. So I think we're in a pretty good position. We kind of let one slip away against Bonham, I feel like. And our kids still are still a little not, they're not thinking about that loss, but that's still in the back of our heads. We'd like to get another chance at Bonham sometime in the year. Then you mentioned Teal Spazina. Then we finish with two real good teams at Parkston. Parkston's been playing real well, and obviously Gregory is the team to beat. So when we get to that, we're going to be excited for it.
Well, Coach, when we visited with you the last couple of seasons, it just seemed like you're always talking about all the injuries you had and all the holes you've had to plug. You've been a little better on that, but of course, like any other team, you've still had significant injuries, and I guess the big one for you has been Jarek Kindle.
Yep, Jarek suffered a knee injury at the Bonham game, and he's had MRIs and spoke with a few doctors, and so he's done for the football season, regardless of how deep we go in the playoffs. So that's a bad deal. I feel real bad for Jarek. He's a senior. He had a great summer off season, and then he played real well in the first three games. He had an 85-yard interception return for a touchdown. He's a good tackler. He's a leader on defense and offense. We look to him. He was a good receiver. So, but he's been at every practice. He's there coaching guys up. He's kind of like an assistant coach now, and so he's accepted that role. And our guys can be playing for him and each other, and I think it's going to make us better.
Well, talk about your junior quarterback, Karst Hunter. I see already that he's on the radar of colleges from different levels, and he's actually been involved in the recruiting process already, and that means, well, you're going to school, you're going to practice on weekends, maybe you're making a college visit or two or doing something like that. Do you feel there's too much on his table? Is it something he can handle? Obviously, you want every kid to have every possible opportunity.
Yeah, he's a busy kid, but I don't think he'd want it any other way. He has all the potential in the world. He knows that. I know that. I think if people come to the games, they recognize that. 6'4", 6'5", 195 pounds, real good athlete, great kid, good student. But no, he manages his time well, and you forgot to mention he gets in and he lifts three times a week, watches film. But, no, he's been busy. He's been to some universities, been on some visits for games. He's got some more coming up. And I think it starts with his parents, his mom and dad. They're good people. They've been through this before. He's had an older sister that played college sports. So he's done a good job with that. And I was kind of in his same shoes when I was younger. So any advice that I can give him, I'm willing to do that. So, but no, he's got a lot of chances, but he's focused on this season, doing everything we can to give ourselves a chance at the end of the year to be one of the two teams down in Vermilion. So, and he's doing a good job at it.
And I mentioned a student athlete there too, and it's the old adage there, he goes to school maybe in his spare time.
Exactly, and he's an above 3.0 guy. He's a smart kid. So he's everything you would want in a college, a high school student athlete. So he does the right things on and off the field, and I'm pretty excited he's on my team.
And I'm sure Karst will be the first one to tell you there, I'm surrounded with opportunities. You don't get there without having the guys blocking. You don't get there without the guys catching the ball or handing off to take some of the pressure off. And really, you got to like the way your team has been pretty well-rounded. I mean, I'm looking at the reception statistics. You have a bunch of guys that have caught passes this year.
Exactly. It starts up front with us, with the leadership and Caleb DeBoer, Jack Jones, senior offensive lineman. They've done a real good job this season protecting him and our ball carriers. Eli Jones ran the ball real well. A lot of people think about the offense or the running game opens up the passing game or vice versa. So our running game has done a real good job. I think Eli's a real good running back. He runs real hard. And then you mentioned all those receivers, though. The Henry Mullaney's, the Jared Kindle, Joey Simpson, Garrett Knox. We can go on and on. Dylan McDonald, Jared Blumenrader, a big tight end for us. So he's got a lot of pieces around him, which is great to have when you have a special football player in Karst like what we have. I think we have a lot of good players. I think we have a few guys who could go play college football. So we got a good team this year, and it's exciting to see it. I get fired up when I talk about it. So.
Will Castle head coach Miller Highmore Harrell, they moved to 4-1 last night after a 28-12 win over Platte Geddes. They will host Yamsa Zina, their final home game of the season, next week. That'll wrap up Dakota Sports Saturday for today. Dakota Sports Saturday brought to you by Pearson Anderson Farmers Union Insurance, Slumberland Furniture, and the Nordby Center for Recreation. Coming up shortly, Mike Henriksen and the Sports Max. Coming up next will be Territorial Rodeo Update brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Twins baseball coming up later today, earlier start time, 4:30 pregame here on KOKK as they continue the series in Detroit. Twins now 3.5 games up for that final wild card. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.